Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Something that I want to share is gratitude for a lot of families in this church that have been faithful for years and years, decades and decades, that has made a morning like this morning even possible, where the church has sustained longevity, and it's been multiple generations of families. That we've got a lot of new people in the last few years, or maybe in the last few minutes. You are new. But I look back on a morning like this morning, and where my heart kind of goes is, I think the first Sunday back, we got the Wrights that are sitting back here from back from Florida, and the Davis family is, it was awesome. Did y'all love Mike leading worship last week? It was so cool. And Hickety's, who have been here for years and years, decades, let's not even begin to count, right? How many years? And Harold's that have been for multiple generations. Just wonderful to see. Peacocks, I think of Jane. Jane's in the house, man. How many years have been serving and serving and serving? And just a heart of gratitude here this morning. Also mindful of someone like a John Starkey, who's back from surgery. And he's such a hipster. Got that hip replaced. And Bill with a big surgery on his arm. Like, God's just been faithful, man. He just kind of keeps us going and keeps us in the game. And he's faithful even when we're not. And even when we're not awesome, he just continues to stay in the game. My gosh, he's good. And so that's where my heart just kind of goes to reflect here this morning. As we dive in on this message of Easter, I want to first lay a little bit of a preface with this. Is Jesus, the Son of God, was a man who fulfilled many prophecies over that were declared about him and his life and the person that he would become and things that he would do. Jesus fulfilled 324 Old Testament prophecies just in his lifetime. They say that just accomplishing 8 of those, the mathematician, and I've got his name here because I don't want to say it wrong, Peter Stoner counted the probability of one person even accomplishing just a small number of these, just fulfilling just a couple, he said, would be like 10 to the 157th power. That's a 1 with 157 zeros after it. Okay? That's what it would be like to accomplish what Jesus accomplished. It's the same random chance as if you would cover the entire state of Texas in half dollars. And on one of them, you marked it with an X. And then you stirred the pot really good over all of Texas. And then someone randomly jumps out of an airplane. And as they're parachuting down, land in a spot, reach their hand 2 feet down, and grab that exact silver dollar with an X on it. That's the same chances that one person would be able to fulfill that many prophecies, just a small number of them. But Jesus, the God-man who shows up on the scene and who has been talked about and prophesied for years and years and years, he makes this history book that is centuries old come into revelation of it is happening and it is God and I am he and it is time. And he shows up on the scene in a powerful way. But not only did he just fulfill a few of them, and a few of them would be like born of a virgin. Someone explain that one to me because I've never been able to accomplish that or I've ever seen anybody. Or the fact that he would be the Messiah who was pinned to a tree amongst other criminals. He fulfilled that. Or the prophecy that says that he would be born in Bethlehem. the chances of that. The Messiah that would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, he accomplished that. He went to Jerusalem riding in on a donkey. He accomplished that. He was the man who was executed on a cross without having a single broken bone. How about accomplishing something like that? And then even the fact that he raised himself from the dead. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time raising myself from the bed some mornings. And he did it from the dead. He accomplished these things. And who was able to foresee and predict what he was going to do? I pull out my phone and look at my calendar. I can't even predict what's going to happen this following week. They were able to predict what's going on for centuries to come. And to see. And Jesus begins to walk this out in front of them. What a powerful, powerful way. Jesus accomplished 324. He fulfilled that many prophecies. To fulfill that many would be like a tornado coming through, and we just saw one last week that came through Swayze. Has anybody driven through Swayze? And it just picked it up and just rearranged it and moved it all over. It would be like a tornado coming through a junkyard and picking up all of this random metal and wiring and chairs and doors. And as the tornado begins to sit, it magically crafts a Boeing 747 jet airplane. That would be the exact same random chance that one guy could fulfill all of these Old Testament prophecies, walking them out in his life. We're talking about a rare breed here. We're talking about a rare dude here. I mean, this guy was something else to behold. He was in a league of his own here. And so now we find Jesus in Luke chapter 23. If you would like to turn there, you can join us. We'll have the scriptures up here on the wall for you as well. But as we turn to Jesus, we see Jesus actually in this scripture fulfilling one of these prophecies, where he's hanging on a tree in his execution amongst criminals. This moment here in Luke 23 is preceded by Jesus going through an illegal trial where they grabbed Jesus in the middle of the night. They put him on trial in a hidden place where only a select few people were invited to put him on trial. And to put him there for blasphemy, to making false accusations that he is the Messiah. This innocent man who was chained and bound and beaten, tearing out his beard. They beat him and spit on him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, and not just little thorns that you might pick up at the Christian bookstore. We're talking about 3-inch spikes. And not just a crown that would lace the outside of his head, but more like a beanie, like a skull cap that they would put down on his head. In order for it to stick, they would take canes and beat the beanie down into his skull. Literally, these spikes hitting his brain, causing tremors to go off inside of him. Crazy amounts of heat and exhaustion, vomiting is probably taking place. His eyesight is probably being affected by all this as blood is moving down inside of his eyes. And now we see this man hanging upon the cross. And one scripture says that he was beaten so bad you couldn't even recognize that he was a man. There he is. And now he's going to fulfill Luke 23, starting in verse 2. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Right in the midst of Jesus being ripped to shreds, literally his body being ripped apart, right in the midst of Jesus having false accusations against him, right in the middle of a big family argument, right in the middle of you being the black sheep of the family, right in the middle of somebody going off on you on Facebook, right in the middle of whatever all that swirl and that bummer is, all of the strife and all of the things that are coming against Jesus, Jesus begins to offer up a prayer. He says, Father, my prayer is that you would forgive them. They don't even know what's going on right here. This is crazy. I'm putting together a Boeing jet 747. They don't even understand what's being happening here. But God, I'm going to ask that you would release forgiveness upon them. I don't know about you. There's times whenever I've had a beard hair come out and it brought a little tear to my eye. Having it ripped out of my face is another deal. After being beaten in my body, torn to shreds, Jesus' response is, let's forgive. As he begins to move into this really powerful, unbelievable move. Anybody also, as you have ever gone through some stuff where there's been accusation against you, your move is, no, I'm not going to pray for a blessing upon their life. No way. I'm innocent here. An innocent person doesn't ask for blessing upon the abuser. And Jesus is just a different breed. And Jesus begins to ask for blessing. Would you bless them with forgiveness and not hold this against them? We see here in his final breaths, he's showing us that he's a different kind of a man. Continuing on in verse 34, it says, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Right here, after Jesus offers their prayer, they continue into it and they say, we don't even really care about you, but we want your stuff. Well, let's play some poker. Anybody got a deck of cards? Because let's cast some lots and let's play some poker for who gets a shirt. He's got a cool shirt, and we'd like to have it. All right, deal me in. How much are we putting in? I'm going to cast some lots and see if I can win the dead guy's shirt. So here's the, as this thing is playing out, we see this stuff. Has anybody ever felt like you've been abused just because somebody else wants your stuff? And here's Jesus in his biggest moment of need. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, if he is the chosen one. The soldiers also came up, and they mocked him, and they offered him wine and vinegar, and they said, if you are the king of the Jews, then save yourself. And there it was written, a notice above him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. These false accusations that were going on were accusations that said, this man proclaims that he will tear down the temple and that he will restore it within 3 days. A false accusation, because in John chapter 2, Jesus says it this way, you say that I will tear down the temple, but I will restore it within 3 days. Anybody ever mixed your words up and then used them against you? Or tried to say it and twist it and then have false accusations against you? He would tear down the temple. And he thinks he's big enough to rebuild it within 3 days. And little did they know, the God-man is about to restore all things within 3 days. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that he wants to restore this morning is to restore any relationship, perhaps, that you've lost with him. Any relationship at all where you feel like, I am too far away, I'm too far disconnected, I'm not, honestly not even sure what I'm doing here this morning. I just came because my grandma invited me, or because we got to meet together for lunch afterwards. But perhaps Jesus has a different plan, and he just wants to build a relationship and to connect with you, and that is the purpose of Easter, is that he's willing to take away everything that would separate you from the heart of God. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Then save yourself and save us. But here's what I want to focus. But the other criminal rebuked him. This other guy, this other dude, he had a different revelation. And he says, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we have done. for getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here we have Jesus suspended between heaven and earth, hanging with only his hands and his feet, three nails pinning God on a cross. What is holding him there is not just these three nails, but what is holding him there is the passion for the glory of God and the redemption of his bride. And on the cross, false accusations and mocking and nasty wine and a sword being stuck into his side and his father turning away from him. There is also another man suspended in midair right next to him. A thief. Yet so much more. While hanging there, while dying, he gives a defense for Jesus. I was kind of impressed by this. He gives an apologetics. He begins to explain who Jesus is on the cross to this other thief. This was a guy who must have known God. And for whatever, he got lost along the way. He had a relationship at one point in time, but he got lost and he happened to be caught stealing and he was a thief. And the judge threw the book at him and you were sentenced to death. Guilty, yet gifted because he is asked to be in a prison cell next to God. And I don't know what the turn of events that have taken place in your life, but you're here this morning. And perhaps you once had a relationship with God, and maybe it got off somewhere along the way. And I don't know what brought you here to this place. But what could have happened as you're looking at this guy's life, and you're thinking, why didn't the judge just forgive it and just move on, just give him some community service? I mean, it seems like he would kind of knew who God was. He could explain it a little bit. He gave a defense for his faith. He stood up for Jesus here on the cross. Maybe he just got in trouble one time. But maybe you just get caught once and you feel like it's all gone in a different way. Not sure what separated you from God, but whatever those turn of events led him to be hanging right next to Jesus. Can we just feel this moment just for a minute? Parents, have you ever seen your kids get in trouble? And you're like, oh, but I know they're good kids. If you only knew, because I know that they're good, and you want to plead in front of the judge, and you want to make an appeal. And I'm just even watching, thinking about the parents, maybe watching, and they're standing next to Mary. They're in the parent section watching this crucifixion going on. And they hear these words from Jesus to this other criminal, this thief. And Jesus turns to him. And he never asks him about church attendance. He didn't ask him where he was a member. He didn't ask him how often he went to life group. He didn't even ask him if he bought the new shirt that the church came out with. He just hears this guy's profession of faith. I know who you are. You shut your mouth over there. This is God. He's done nothing wrong. Jesus, please remember me. Jesus, I need you. I'm stuck. I'm in a mess. And I need you, please. Would you have grace and mercy upon me? And Jesus is like, you're stuck with me. I'm in it with you. Jesus didn't just give us a teaching tape. He just didn't send us a self-help book. Jesus came. And he was in it with us. He wants to dive into your marriage. He wants to come into your home and into your kitchen. He wants to move inside of your heart. He says, you're stuck, and I'm stuck with you, man. I will remember you. And because I'm here is because I remembered you. And you're with me. Yes, I will remember you, and you will be with me forever in paradise. Gosh, did the judge give him the biggest gift ever by sentencing him to death, right next to God. I don't know what the decisions that have been made in your life or decisions that you didn't have any control of that's put you in the position that you are in life. This thief, he made some bad decisions, and then there were some decisions that told him what was going to happen in his life. But whatever happened, somehow he got next to Jesus. And forever, in a moment, seeing Jesus for who he is and making a profession of faith, he confesses who this God man is. Jesus sees his faith and he says, "You're gonna be with me. I'm in it with you, man. We're in this thing together." It's the purpose of Easter. It's that he bridges every gap that could possibly separate us from the love of God, and he says, "I'm in it with you, man, and you're with me today." What a turn of events, probably the greatest turn of events ever recorded in Scripture. This guy goes from knowing him through stories, and then believing in him by faith, and then hanging with him in person, and then sentenced to death, but granted eternal life. What a turn in this guy's life. I don't pretend to understand everything about grace or salvation or forgiveness or how Jesus loves me, especially when I'm not awesome and I'm in sin. I don't know how it works, but I just believe it does. And sometimes belief and faith have to override our understanding. So much about this thing, I just can't wrap my mind around. I can't put God into a box and think, okay, boom, there's exactly how it works. I figured that out. I took the class and I got an A. It's like I feel like I take his class every day and I get an F. He's so far beyond my understanding. He's past trying to find out. But by faith, I override all of my lack of understanding and just believe in who he is and what he can do for me. I don't understand everything about the game of basketball, but I really like it. I don't understand everything about the stock market, but I keep investing in it, and I keep showing up to it. And you know what? There's a lot of highs and lows. And there's some big losses. And there's some big bummers. But I don't know why we would put more faith in the stock market. We don't get out of that. But we'll leave Jesus. And we'll leave our faith. Why do we have a greater faith and confidence that the stock market's going to come through for us? And I don't understand how the market works, but I believe it does. And I'll just, every day, the same day of the month, there's going to be an automatic deposit. And I'm just believing it's going to take care of me and my Roth IRA. It's going to be there, my mutual funds. I make daily disciplined decisions to have extra to put in my kids' UGMA accounts. I just don't know how it works, but I believe it. Maybe for some of you, you've got tangled up because you're like, God, this doesn't make sense, man. Jesus, he does this and he does this. That just doesn't even make sense. I'm not going to sign up for something I can't understand. I'll tell you, you sign up for stuff that you don't understand every day. Let's just give God a chance. Let's give him a shot at it. I want to read you a story here. Does anybody remember the movie The Christmas Story? Come on, y'all like that? I like that movie. The Christmas Story. And in The Christmas Story, my favorite scene is between Schwartz and Flick. And they're at recess, and they're out standing by the pole, the frozen flagpole. Y'all remember this story? And they're standing out there, and they begin to dare each other like only little boys do. And here's how this story plays out. Schwartz, he goes, "Oh, yeah?" Flick, "Yeah." Schwartz, "Says who?" Flick, "Says me." "Oh, yeah? Well, I double dare you." Flick. Oh, I'm sorry, then the narrator. The exact exchange and nuance of the phrase in this ritual is very important. flick. Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that pole? That's dumb. Schwartz. That's because you know it'll stick. Flick. You're full of beans. Schwartz. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Schwartz. I double dog dare you. The narrator. Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was there but a triple dare you? And then the coup de grace of all dares. The sinister triple dog dare. Schwartz. I triple dog dare you. The narrator. Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going straight for the throat. Flick. All right, all right. Flick's spine stiffened. His lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back. Flick. This is nuts. Schwartz. Ha 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 ha. Flick holds his tongue. Stop! Stuck! Stuck! Schwartz, geez, it really worked! I'll tell you, understanding the cross and understanding the resurrection is really hard to understand. But here's the challenge, and I'll throw this challenge out here this morning. I'm going to throw down the gauntlet. And I'm going to pass all dare etiquette. And I'm going straight for the triple dog dare. The coup de grace, the cream de la creme, is I triple dog dare you to awaken the awareness of your heart to a Jesus that has done all things required to bring you into relationship with him. To step back from your accusations. To step back from the falsehoods that we point our fingers. I triple dog dare you to begin to move away from all of the things that has kept that wedge between you. I triple dog dare you to move away from your identity as a thief. And to move into one that's forgiven. I triple dog dare you this morning just to open up your heart. Say, Jesus, I need your grace. And I need your forgiveness. And I want to shift my life to begin to see you in a different way. As we close here this morning, I want to invite my son, Judah, up here on the stage. Jude and I have been talking a lot about Jesus. Two nights ago, we sat around as a family and we read the scriptures. We read about Jesus with his disciples right before he went to the cross. We read about this time whenever they were getting ready to go up to the cross on Good Friday. We spent some time wrestling through these scriptures and talking about what salvation really means to us. At the beginning of every step is usually a first step of faith. In the beginning of our relationship with Jesus, it's just a step of faith saying, Jesus, I'm aware of what you've done for me on the cross. I'm aware that I'm a sinner and I need forgiven of my sins. And now I want, just like this thief on the cross, I want to make a profession of faith that you are the God-man and that you would have grace and mercy upon my life. Judah and I, we've prayed this prayer before, and it's a salvation prayer. It's where I'll pray a line and he'll follow me and he'll pray that same line. And he'll repeat after I say it. And we're going to do this morning. And Judah is going to lead our church family in a prayer. And Judah has a prayer. And if you would be so bold enough to agree with us on this prayer, that you would repeat these words after him and make a profession of faith to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. Let's repeat this prayer.
Dear Jesus.
Jesus.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you raised to life again.
I believe you raised from life.
I confess I'm a sinner.
I confess I'm a sinner.
I ask you today to forgive me of my sins.
To forgive me of my sins.
I give my life to you.
Give my life to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, awesome, buddy. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we believe this is just the first step of hopefully many steps of giving our hearts and our lives to Jesus. Church family, as we close this morning, would you just stand with me as we get ready to dismiss? I believe that Jesus hears every prayer. I believe that Jesus sees you in the situation that you're in life. And I don't know what brought you here this morning, but hopefully it was to reconnect with the Lord. If there's anybody out there, if this was the first time that you've prayed a prayer and you said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to do this thing new and I want to do it better and I want to do it right. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody out there this morning? Right on. Several. Good. Amen. Amen. There's some out there. Awesome. Well, church family, if you were new here this morning, Pastor Andrew's got a gift for you right here at the back as you're exiting. We got a gift bag that we'd like to get into your hands. We're so glad that you came here to worship with us this morning. And we just pray a blessing upon the rest of your Easter. I just want to pray for you. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for an empty tomb. We thank you that you are alive and well, that you set free your people. We just pray a blessing upon this house and everyone here today. God, I just pray that as we go upon into our lunches and our days with our families, that this would be a day where we just celebrate you and the goodness of the cross and an empty tomb. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody with me said, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.